Welcome to Drunk Guys Book Club, where books aren't just for school, where book clubs aren't just for women, and beer might make you think you could talk to snakes.
I'm Mike.
I'm Nate.
And we're the Drunk Guys.
And this week we are reading Harry Potter Part 2, The Chamber of Secrets by J.K. Rowling.
That was the second book in the Harry Potter series. You might have heard of it. You might have heard of it through us when we read the first one a few months ago. Well, we have come back for more. So this is the second book published, you know, I don't know, like 22 years ago now or something ridiculous like that. 20 years ago. And it follows an increasingly pubescent Harry Potter and his friends at Hogwarts. And magic.
Magic, which we'll talk a lot about in just a minute.
Speaking of magic, let's open a beer. This beer is magical. And this one does not require us to tell you anything about the book that we haven't already told you. This is Southern Tier Brewing Company's Warlock. If you can't figure out what this has to do with the book, you fucking suck. And you should
we can't help you.
Yeah. Don't listen. But give us 5 stars on iTunes. And follow us on Twitter at DrunkGuysBC. So we've actually had this before, you and me, Nate, just in a day when we were drinking. But now we're having it for a purpose.
Yes.
But it's been a while.
Usually we don't need a purpose, but, you know.
It doesn't hurt. This is an Imperial Stout. It is an ale brewed with pumpkin and with pumpkin pie spice. It's not super Imperial. It's 8.6% alcohol. Though it has vintage 2017 written on the bottle. So I guess they're implying that you could actually hold on to this for a while and, you know, age it like a heavier duty beverage. And it's made in Lakewood, New York, which I have no idea where that is. I guess it's upstate somewhere. Which, of course, is not the southern tier of just about anything. Except for Canada, which I think we made that joke.
Canada, yeah.
I think we made that joke already. But just smelling this is bringing back Vietnam flashbacks of the Sleepy Hollow episode.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, God. I feel like if there was like a booby trap in Home Alone where the spice rack fell on a person, this is what it would...
And it turned into beer.
this is part of that. I mean, it says pumpkin pie spice. There is no more information on here, but I'm assuming... I get vanilla.
There was the joke you made about this last time we had it.
Did I? I think I used that joke with Sleepy Hollow.
You did, yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely nutmeg.
So you do remember, okay.
I remember my A material.
This is definitely a strong beer. Holy crap.
It's
not like those IPAs we had last week.
Yeah, those were Wimby. This will put hair on your mother's balls, but this is... It just... Oh, God. It tastes like a malted. It does not... And also, just to revisit the Sleepy Hollow thing, where is the pumpkin flavor in this?
There's supposed to be pumpkin
in
this?
Yeah, brewed with pumpkin. Brewed with pumpkin. That gets top billing over pumpkin pie spice.
So wait, we had a different Southern Tier that had pumpkin in it.
They have Pumpkin.
Pumpkin, that's what we had.
And this is Warlock, which they're not the same beer, as far as I can tell. It's not like this is just like the dark version. I think it's a totally different beverage. I mean, they do come out the same time of the year, so maybe they're similar. But this is just... It's like if I had some sort of frou-frou vanilla chai. How do you say that word?
Chai.
I never have it because it's gross. But like a vanilla chai tea sort of thing that made sweet love to a beer, this is what it'll be. You know, it's really not, there's nothing beery about it, which is cool in a way to not, you know, for it to be, you know, air quotes beer and it tastes nothing like beer. It's, you know, brewer's pushing the envelope. What do you think of it?
I mean, it's definitely strong and spicy, and it has like the pumpkin. It has like the jack-o'-lantern right on the right on the thing, and it does definitely taste like that other pumpkin beer.
Complete with wizard's hat he has on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Perfect for Harry Potter.
Right, because didn't they wear hats in the book?
Well, they did in the movies. I always pictured them with the book with the hats, what's the dude? Was the head of Hogwarts?
Dumbledore.
Oh my god.
Dumbledore.
Already a bit drunk. So anyway, Dumbledore. I always pictured Dumbledore with a fucking wizard head.
Well, Merlin.
Or you're picturing Gandalf. I'm just definitely like picturing that whenever I picture Dumbledore.
But his robe has like stars and crescent moons on it, so it looks more like pajamas.
Right. Yeah.
And he has the crescent moon glasses or something like that. They're like the lenses are a different shape. But the characters wear robes. In the movies, they eventually just got rid of that shit. Like, the first two or three movies, the kids are wearing robes.
It's like they're at graduation every day.
Yeah, and then they just realize this doesn't really carry over to cinema very well. Mm-hmm. And then just wearing jeans and pullovers, you know, after that. Which was fine. Nobody missed them.
No.
And it doesn't really matter at all in the books. They just mention every once in a while that, oh, and he spilt jizz of Newt all over his robe.
Well, as my high school English teacher, who was English, said, because Harry Potter was new at the time, he said that Harry Potter is just like real English boarding school, minus the magic.
Yep.
So my guess is, in real English boarding school, they wear those robes around.
Do you think they get a jizz of Newt on it?
Jizz of something.
that's fun for the whole family. All right, so there's stuff to talk about. Mm-hmm. It's kind of tough for Harry Potter because it's a series, and we have both read it, and probably you have both read it. You have read the whole thing, I should say. You kind of picture the books in their role in the larger scope of the series, what they introduce, mm-hmm. and for the first couple of books, the plot it's all exposition. Here are the characters. Let's meet some characters. Let's learn about the wizard world. Let's learn some more shit about. Each person is in the second book now. Mm-hmm. Let's learn some more about Hogwarts. And then let's learn some background on Voldemort. So this book, I remember when I first read it, and I've read it four times now, was one of my least favorites of the series. Because nothing really happens in it. I don't know how you felt, but I felt like really nothing happens
in this book. It, like all the other books, it has the plot where Harry has trouble getting to Hogwarts. You know, this is the predictable part. So he's trouble getting to Hogwarts, and then he arrives at Hogwarts, and there's some mystery he and Hermione and Ron have to solve, blah, 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 blah. So that part still definitely happens, but it's not until the later books, the second half of the series, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. I don't know. All the books kind of blend together in my head, because I really just kind of read them all together all at once, only that one time. Now I'm rereading it for the second time. There are bigger things that happen in the second half of the series that sort of all flow together, whereas this is just another year at Hogwarts, and other weird shit happens.
Everyone has a few more pubes, and they learn some more spells. Mm-hmm. But later on in this series, stuff from this book will be important. Spoiler, they're wizards. stuff will happen.
You're a wizard, Harry.
Yeah, exactly.
Spoiler alert.
There's stuff that's important, actually, which, you know, I'm a fan of this series because I read it as a, you know, adolescent. The planning that Rowling did is really kind of impressive, that she actually thought it through. Whereas you read other series and you're like, yeah, they're just making shit up and making it fit somehow. No, there's like, she buried the lead, man. There's a lot of stuff in there that comes back.
So what's the main plot of this book?
Oh, well, Harry Potter goes to school and learns some shit. And there's a new Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher who's a total dick. Well, not really dick, because dick in my mind means like malicious person. This guy's just an idiot. So I'm trying to think of the right appendage.
He's a phony.
He's a phony, it's true.
You know what, if Holden Caulfield would call anyone a phony, he would call... What's this guy's name again?
Gilderoy Lockhart,
a phony, because he is like the number one phony.
Well, so Gilderoy Lockhart is a celebrity in the wizard world. He writes these pop adventure memoirs about the time he, you know, saved a village from a banshee and shit like that. And he gets hired as the Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher. The position that, since book one, they said, oh, that position's cursed, because like nobody can keep that job for more than a year. Mm-hmm. I guess that's some serious foreshadowing, right? Because they never defend against the dark arts. Voldemort totally rises again and almost creates his whole new wizard world order. Mm-hmm. They're not really knowledgeable about defending against the dark arts. Like, Gilderoy Lockhart is, it turns out, incompetent. He's full of shit. He can't do any. He can do virtually no spells, and all the stuff in his books he's stolen from people. He's very good at doing a memory charm, like a Men in Black kind of wipe your memory thing. Yeah. Is that the sound of the jizz of Newt? Is that what that was? So he find that out only at the end, and he's a fuck up. But throughout the whole book, every time he tries to do a spell or something, he fucks it up because he's an idiot.
Complete idiot.
But he's a really good looking guy, and he's charming, and like Ron's mom.
All the middle aged housewives are totally into him.
They think
and
about
so is Hermione.
Because what else can they do with those wands when they're alone? So he's that character, which gets to like the big issue. Hogwarts is a bad school.
It is the worst. It not only is it a bad school, it is the most dangerous place on the planet.
Right? There could be a school in an active volcano. The kids will be more safe there than Hogwarts.
Because not only because the book proves over and over again how dangerous magic is, kids are just doing it just. They're told, oh, don't do magic except, you know, when we tell you to, but there's no adult supervision.
At all.
And, like, this is, Hogwarts is like, if you give every, let's take 1,000 children, give them each a handgun, but tell them don't ever use it until we tell you to. But you're going to walk around it. You're going to walk around with your handguns all day, every day. Just don't use it. Can you imagine 11-year-olds really being responsible in that situation? No, definitely not.
Oh, and there will be no adults around ever.
No.
You're going to go to school for about 4 hours a day.
Like, when you're in class, you get scolded for being, you know, doing all these things. And then the rest of the time, you can shoot whoever you want.
And the teachers, who are so wise at times, don't know what it's like to be a kid.
No.
And they completely forgot the conflict between, you know, well, there's lots of different conflicts in this, but about race and class and stuff like that. They just, meh, those kids are totally not going to get along. Let's let them go around brandishing ways to hurt each other. I'm going to go hang out with my cats in my study now.
Right. There's the scene where all the kids are being taught how to do duels, how to, you know, disarm somebody else. Oh, just do this one little spell. And that is totally not what happens. Kids, they put the two biggest enemies together, Harry and
Draco Malfoy
together. And of course they're going to cast like the biggest shit they know. Because fuck you. We hate you.
But who taught them those spells? Right, well, actually, right, yeah, exactly. Malfoy's scumbag father probably taught him those spells. But how does Harry know these other spells? I have a whole problem with the magic in the series, that there's a huge disconnect between the magic that they're taught in school, which Hogwarts is allegedly the best magic school in the world, and the magic that the adults are able to do. There's no continuity. You know, it's almost as if, you know, you went to a conservatory, and the only thing they taught you was Hufflepuff buns, and they expected them to play Paganini. You know, you just play that enough times, and then you could do this other thing. Mm-hmm. Like, the kids are learning these basic, stupid spells, like how to make a feather float. That's easy. You fart by it. It'll just do it. Like that, I don't know magic for that shit. Or how to, turn a teacup into a mouse or something. And the kids have to chant these things as they do it.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to say it very clearly and proud. They're like, Wingardium Leviosa.
Right? No, it's Leviosa.
Yeah, Leviosa. Yeah. And I think that was the first book, though, right? It's one of the fucking early books. But they have to say the words really carefully. And then the adults come into the room and they're just like, what's happening here? Wand comes out, nothing said, no time to blink, and then like a flaming dragon will shoot out and it will collect Easter eggs and then shit out a birthday cake. And like, it just happens. Like, there it is, kids. All right. Calm down now. Daddy's home. Right? There's no connection. There's no, what kind of curriculum are they following here? It's a shitty school.
Yep.
So, and it's also shitty. It's the best school in the world. They hired this inept buffoon. What kind of screening process do they have?
Right? So Dumbledore is supposed to be like the most brilliant wizard alive. He's supposed to be the best wizard alive at the time, and Dumbledore hires this fucking idiot.
Yeah.
If there's anyone who should have been able to see through him, and yes, it's the thing in the book where it's obvious from the beginning that he's a complete fraud. If any one person should be able to see through that, it's Dumbledore, but he still hires him.
What the fuck is that about? Is Dumbledore like, oh, I'll give him a chance or something? I don't know, because Dumbledore is very kind and whatever. But he also doesn't suffer fools.
He's so wise and smart in basically every other situation in the entire series, except for this.
Well, except
he's
for
a fucking idiot.
His actual job as principal of the school. He's terrible at that. Like, he'll help discover the Philosopher's Stone or something like that, but he can't.
Keeping kids from being petrified.
Right, okay, so that's the plot of the book, right? They're, you know, going to school, doing the school thing, and then all of a sudden, kids are starting to get petrified.
And not petrified as in, that's not a euphemism for being really, really scared. Literally turned to stone.
Nor for the nervous boners they start getting in middle school when they're, oh no, my wood, it's petrified. I can't go to the board. I cast a spell of engorgement on it. They're literally petrified. Nobody can figure it out. But, oh wait, this has happened before. Something similar happened, and then, of course, it's closer than you think. Mm-hmm. And it's Hagrid who was the person who was somehow responsible, and Hagrid, the lovable, you know, idiot.
Lovable doofus.
He was kicked out of Hogwarts as a child, you learn. The accusations come back to him, because people remember, hey, remember when Hagrid was a kid, and this sort of thing happened? And then we let him just work at a school full of children for 50 years? That wasn't a bad idea, what I was saying, but like maybe now we definitely take him out.
You know, one thing, so I've seen most of the Harry Potter movies, maybe not all of them, but Hagrid, so the actor who plays Hagrid, I think does a great job. But according to the chronology of the book, he would have to be like 70 years old.
Well, there is a strange longevity thing in the book, because Dumbledore is 150 or something like that.
Really?
He's oldish. He's old, yeah. Like, their ages are old, but their ages are kind of weird. People have a much longer lifespan in the books.
When they're wizards?
I guess, because you could just, you know, cast some sort of spell to get rid of, you know, cancer or something. I don't really know what happens. They seem to be able to live longer.
If only Augustus and Hazel had that spell.
Oh, man. Ooh. Don't. Ooh. Ooh. Burn.
Foreshadowing.
But which one? Who is it? Who dies? Find out next week. Yeah, there's it's a fucking children's book, so the numbers don't have to add up. It's kind of like, you know, right, yeah, the Old Testament. You know, how old was Methuselah? How did that happen? He was a wizard. So Hogwarts is terrible. You know what's another thing fucking terrible about the school? They make the Polyjuice potion so they can to be Crab and Goyle.
Those are the names I could name immediately, but the other ones couldn't do it.
Well, that's a potion that takes like a month to make. It's in the bathroom. Where's the custodial staff?
Right, exactly. So they don't go in there because Moaning Myrtle is just so fucking annoying that even the janitors, the magic janitors, won't go in. But that just makes no sense at all.
It's not. It's ridiculous.
One snuck in there and took a shit.
Right? No one dropped a deuce into that door. People are like, man, that person's really blowing it up. That stall has been locked for 20 days. Light a match in there, huh? How about a courtesy flush? Smells like fly wigs and essence of newt jizz. What have you been eating? It's what kind of shitty school is this? But you know what? Who's fucking cleaning that bathroom? Are the house elves. The slaves of the wizard world. The plot gets... the plot thickens a bit in the book, but Hogwarts is staffed with slaves.
The wizarding world is staffed with slaves. But only if you're rich enough to afford one.
Right.
Yeah.
Because the Weasleys, they don't have slaves.
No, they don't have any house elves.
No, they just have more and more children.
So this Harry Potter book, right, because they're Irish.
Yeah, they can't contain themselves.
This Harry Potter book has the two most annoying Harry Potter characters in the entire series. It's both Dobby, who just needs to shut the fuck up.
Oh my god,
and Moaning Myrtle, who just really needs to shut the fuck up.
She does.
Of them. It's like their characters are intentionally annoying. I get that they did that that's there for a purpose. You know what? I don't need to read about these really annoying characters.
They are unsympathetic. Well, Moaning Myrtle is. I mean, she just clearly is, you know, an angsty teenage girl who died and needs some ghost dick. She is annoying and haunts the girls' bathroom, and she was killed at the same time when Hagrid's thing happened. Spoiler. It turns out they're like, oh, we heard a child died, and then they put it together and they realize it was Moaning Myrtle and they could talk to her, and then she's willing to give them information and help them figure out what's petrifying the children. Mm-hmm. Of course, Hermione figures it out, because Hermione's so brilliant, but Hermione, of course, does not tell an adult.
No.
She's like, I'm just going to go around and figure it out.
I'm a 12-year-old. I can solve this murder mystery by myself.
I've read books about it. Let me go with a butter knife or whatever the hell she was using to, like, peek around the corners to not get petrified by the basilisk. Don't tell adults, you know, the people whose job is to protect me at this school.
All three of them.
Who also did it last year for us and saved us from the fucking elaborate James Bond hiding place for the Philosopher's Stone. Don't involve them. They're busy. Not planning lessons. It's not like they actually do good quality education at Hogwarts.
No. So nor are principal observations.
No, none. I mean, remember when you were a kid and the teacher, the principal would just sit in the back of your room and you'd be fucking scared out of your mind thinking they were watching you? And you'd go, fuck, I gotta be good. Principal Johnson's in the room.
Right.
They did not give a fuck about you. They were totally looking at that teacher and gonna tell that teacher what they had to work on or whatever. Never happens in Harry Potter. Dumbledore just disappears at points in the series.
He probably is in this less of this book than any other. Even after when he's dead, he's in still more in that book than this one.
Yeah, he's really not important. Oh yeah, spoiler. He dies. Whoops. if you didn't say it, I was going to say, I don't think he's really in the book where he dies. He's dead.
But he was still in it more.
Yeah, he does appear in
this
that
one.
Like flashbacks, and there's like, we'll eventually get to that one.
Yep.
You know, I have a legitimate question. Hogwarts is supposed to be safe. They make mention of it all the time throughout the series. You mentioned how they can't easily get to Hogwarts, because Harry, they fuck up the platform gets fucked up. Mm-hmm. Of course, by Dobby. He sucks. And they steal Ron's dad's magic car, and they drive it to Hogwarts.
They drive slash fly.
Yeah. What kind of security does Hogwarts have that allows the car to just drive into
it? A flying car to just, like, land.
Right? I mean, clearly this book was written before ISIS started driving cars into people.
Oh, my God.
But you'd think they just have, like, a barrier that you can't just lob shit over. Like, that doesn't seem like a very good... What security do they have?
You would think fucking warlocks would have thought of that a couple centuries ago.
And they're still working on the penis enlarging charms. And the vagina tightening curses. Which, can't blame them. It's a good use of time too, I guess. They can't just always be turning a teacup into a mouse. But they just, how do we not know that there's a car? Oh, because it's going to crash into that weirdly animated tree that punches things. And then they're mad that the tree got damaged when it beat the shit out of their car. And that car comes back later.
Yeah, it saves them it shows up out of nowhere, because apparently it has a mind of its own, and saves them, which is another part of the plot I had a major problem with.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's like Christine, the car, the Stephen King book.
I have not read that.
Oh, you've seen the movie?
I haven't seen it either.
It's from like 1983, so you know it's real good. Right, let's have another beer, and then we'll keep shitting on this book.
All right, so our second beer is by Flying Dog Brewery, and it's called Snake Dog.
Our unofficial sponsors, it seems.
Right.
Since we've...
Are there any beers we haven't featured? Actually, yes, there are a few.
We've tweeted about some of them, though.
We've now featured over half their beers, for sure.
Yeah, the ones you could find around us.
And they still have no idea who we are.
They've liked some of our tweets.
They have?
Yeah. When I drank the one that was made with oysters, they, commented on that post.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, all right, good. Now, give us something.
Come on. Our tens of listeners are totally getting good promotion.
Hey, you know what? We have now hit the point where there's people we don't even know listen. So, thanks, Mom. You can keep listening.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And other people, let us know who the fuck is listening to this podcast. We know you are out there. Send us an email. To
drunkguysbookclub@gmail.com.
Or, follow us on Twitter, send us a message there @drunkguysbc.
And please leave us a rating. Please go on whatever platform we're using and leave us a rating.
Yeah.
That helps us a lot.
That really does. And our whole quest, it's a very noble quest, is just to get beer or books.
Just enough people listening that beer companies will send us beer.
That's not many. We don't need that many people. Just a few.
Can you imagine if the first... free beer we get is Bud Light Limerita?
I will drink it. They probably will be the last beer they send us.
After we review it, I think it will be.
So, Snake Dog IPA. Mm-hmm. We got about as opposite this Warlock beer as we can go here. Oh, look at this. This is Enjoy By Tomorrow. Don't worry. It won't be around for long. 7.1% alcohol. So, this is the higher end of regular IPA. You're not quite at the Imperial or Double IPA level yet. It smells... Get like a tropical fruit smell, almost like a mango smell in there.
There's something sweet in it.
Yeah, it is a little sweeter. And there's like a, almost, I don't want to say spicy hop flavor to it, but it's not a citrus hop flavor. All right,
so here's how this beer relates to the book. This is the book where Harry realizes he can talk to snakes. He wasn't only really drunk at the time. He was only 11, so hopefully he was sober. But he has this ability, which apparently Voldemort also had as a child. Voldemort also has, which is called being a parcel mouth, which means you can speak to snakes. Like snakes, you can speak to them and snakes will understand you.
And they can speak back.
And they can speak back, yeah.
Which was shown actually in the first book. In the first book, they go through the early chapter when Harry's like, weird things always happen to Harry Potter. One time he was at the zoo and he was in the reptile house.
The start of this book.
That happens in this book.
Yeah, this is the opening scene of Harry Potter 2. He's in the reptile house, and then the snake, talks to him.
And it's talks see to you later.
And then he escapes, and then everybody flips the fuck out.
That was the opening scene
of this book.
All right. I know the whole fucking plot. I don't remember which book it happens in.
Right.
Oh, whatever. It's foreshadowed either. It's foreshadowed as well. Whatevs. Voldemort. Dumbledore dies. So... Yeah, he can speak to snakes, which is extremely rare. Voldemort is the only other person people know who could do it, and it's associated with evil.
And the original Slytherin,
Salazar Slytherin,
could do it too. And there's pretty much nobody else.
Right. Though you'll later find out in the series there were some other ones, but you're not really shocked why. And you're not really shocked when you eventually learn why Harry could do it. Though in the book, it's just like, oh, that's just a rare gift Harry has. Mm-hmm. Cool. Of course, he finds out in dramatic fashion during that stupid duel scene where Malfoy shoots a snake out of his wand and Harry yells at the snake. And everybody's freaked out because he didn't actually yell in English. He yelled in snake. And he went like... and everyone like, oh my god, what the fuck is happening to him? And then the snake ran away. And they're like, oh, all right, great. That's he's even more of a weird person in our school. Let's all be kind of shitty. And let's keep Harry at arm's length. Which he's always like a fucking victim, Harry. He's always whining about people not liking him or his parents dying or whatever. Get it together,
what
kid.
What a whiner.
Tell it to somebody who cares, like your dead parents.
Did your parents raise you to be a little bitch?
Oh, that's right. They didn't raise you at all. They'd rather die than raise you. Oh, that's terrible. That's so mean. So mean. But your aunt made you live under the stairs. A little bit.
Yeah,
a little bit
of child abuse. More than a little bit.
Well, actually, he left that to go to a school where child abuse was part of the curriculum. So like, it's not like you really improve. It's just like a little more fun child abuse, and they get to have like Christmas dinner. Hogwarts is a shitty school. Like
on and owls.
Yeah. And inside schools, not a good rating. Hogwarts. If you live in New York City and you have children in the public schools, you will understand what that means. You know what's also shitty? And maybe this is what you were going to talk to about the car before. When Hagrid gets arrested, Harry Potter has the invisibility cloak, right? And he uses that at times. And he's hiding in Hagrid's hut when Hagrid gets arrested. And
good
Hagrid's like...
Good right there.
Didn't even try. It just happens. Hagrid's like, oh, if anyone wants to know the truth, they should go follow the spiders. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Harry's in the corner. And then they drag him away. Mm-hmm. And Harry's like, well, we will follow the spiders. And I think they had mentioned them at some point that there were, like, spiders all over the goddamn place. And they follow the spiders into the forbidden forest, where Harry has to go at least once a year because, you know, it's forbidden and he's a fucking pain in the ass and he just doesn't listen to the rules. And he goes into the forest and they find their spiders are all kind of marching towards this giant crazy spider thing, I forget what it's called, like an acromantula or something like that. I think you actually don't find out that out until book 6, what it was called. But it is this giant spider.
Giant spider.
That could talk, because it's, you know, magic. And it is named Aragog. And Hagrid was its owner. It was like his pet. And then when it became the size of a fucking tour bus, it started living in the woods. And the spiders, they explained that, oh, Hagrid was taken away. Oh, this is happening at the school. And then the thing's like, oh, that's terrible. So sad. I'm so sorry to hear that. We're going to eat you now. And like, whoa, thanks a fucking lot, Hagrid.
Yeah.
What kind of shit advice was that? If anyone wants to know the truth and be eaten, follow the spiders. But then, as you mentioned, the car saves them.
The car just shows up out of nowhere and saves them. The car doesn't have a mind of its own. It doesn't even make sense.
It's magic.
It was J.K. Rowling just couldn't think of how to get them out of that situation. I know. Let's just have the car appear out of nowhere.
Well, you know what? She does never say what happened to the car. Like the car
convenient.
Kind of just
convenient.
Right. It's like she planned it. Right. It's whatever.
The authors planning their books.
God dare
how
you.
Dare they?
Shouldn't you be writing it like the manatees that write Family Guy? You ever see that South Park? Manatees that write Family Guy. There's just a million balls that have one word on them, and they just nudge them into order, and they're like, ah. Oh, that's how we're going to write this Family Guy episode. And remember that time that I did this with that? And this is the manatee supply. That was another example of Hogwarts being a place that you shouldn't send your enemy's children, let alone your own, and pay money to send them there. It's an expensive school. It's a private school. It's only paid for because Harry's parents, you know, wizard insurance paid for it after they got killed.
So how did Hermione able to... How was Hermione able to afford it?
They never really explained, though. Her parents were dentists, so, you know...
So that means it's loaded.
I guess so, though, I mean, to go to the stereotype of British people and their tea, I don't know how much business they have. But she might have also gotten a scholarship, because she only found out she was magical when she gets her owl letter. Mm-hmm. And it's not like she knew. We also mentioned race and class, and I guess we should mention species, too, in the wizard world.
So, Harry Potter, so the thing J.K. Rowling did in this book is she introduced the issue of both race and class and species. So she introduced this, like, divide about class because Harry and Ron, and I guess Hermione too, but Harry and Ron are both not rich.
And Harry's and then, much better off than Ron.
Right, but only by accident. He didn't even know. So anyway, Ron's family just has a lot of kids, and they don't have a lot of money. They're trying to make it on a public servant salary. So
and a steady diet of potatoes.
So they just don't have a lot of money, whereas the Malfoys are, like, super rich and super privileged.
They're, like, old money, though.
Exactly. Old money versus no money. Old money versus no money. So there's, like, that issue in the book, because Draco Malfoy is, like, a total asshole. And the Weasleys are like, well, fuck you.
Oh, fuck you, dear. Oh, Lord.
And then there's also this issue of race, because it's the Full Bloods versus the Mudbloods, whereas Hermione is, you know, apparently only half wizard or whatever.
She's zero wizard.
She's zero wizard.
That's what a Mudblood is. Alright? I mean, there's also half...
I thought Mudblood was half wizard or less.
Right, well, this is, I mean, the parallels with the Nazis, because Harry's only half-blood. Harry's mom was not... Because
Harry's mom was... They were both wizards.
No, but Harry's mom was the only magic one in her family. Because his aunt is Harry's mom's sister.
Right, yeah.
The Dursleys, they have no magic in them at all. And they actually are... They want to pretend it doesn't exist. They're totally against it.
Mm-hmm.
And so Harry's a half-blood. Ron's pure blood.
So there's this stuff in the book where the Malfoys, again, are, you know, we only believe in pure-blood wizards and not these stupid mudbloods, which is very racial. And so one thing this definitely reminded me of is that, you know, the... Does it come out in this book that Voldemort is a mudblood? Or is that later?
I don't think you find that out until much later.
I think you find that out later, but here's something I realized. Because Voldemort is a mudblood, but he hates mudbloods, that's exactly like Trujillo in the DR, as we talked about in our episode about Oscar Wilde.
Right.
The Amazing Adventures of Oscar Wow.
The Brief Wondrous Life of Oscar Wow. And Clay.
Because Trujillo, who was the dictator of the Dominican Republic, was black, but he had his skin lightened and was very discriminating against anyone who was darker skinned in the DR.
And he tried to pretend it didn't exist.
Exactly.
I mean, I think... We see there's a lot of dictator-ish people, right? They have an idea of what they want to see. It doesn't. Hitler wasn't a tall, strapping, blonde-haired, blue-eyed Aryan. He was a kind of shortish, not super muscular-looking, brown-eyed, brown-haired Austrian.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, he knew the. You know, they're like idea men. They have the vision. But the race and class thing, that's gonna, you know, it's going to ramp up in the later books with Voldemort and all that kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
But the species stuff in Harry Potter is the stuff that I get my most snarkiest. I like to criticize how they don't... There's, like, weird inconsistencies. Like, it's totally cool to enslave the house elves, and the house elves are happy doing it. Like, just imagine that this book came out, you know, before slavery. Well, but imagine it came out before the Civil War, and it's like an Uncle Tom's Cabin kind of thing, and there's a book where... There's a whole bunch of people who are totally happy being slaves, and they talk stupidly, like the house elves do. Like, Dobby speaks about it, he's always like, oh, Dobby's so happy to do that for you. I'm sorry, that's not terribly far from, like, oh, Massa, what's Azza gonna do kind of speech. Mm-hmm. It's kind of fucked up.
Yeah, it is, for sure. And, you know, Dobby is free now.
Yeah.
You know,
free at last. Free at last.
Dobby had a dream.
Right. And of course, I mean, there's also like a quirky, weird wizard way in which they get their freedom, right? They get their freedom through...
Socks.
Well, any article of clothing, right? They're not allowed to wear clothes because that's a symbol of freedom. They wear like stupid... They wear like pillowcases.
Right.
And Harry, of course, tricks Dobby's owner, the Malfoys, into freeing him. And they're like,
by giving him a sock.
Well, because the diary thing... He puts the sock, and the guy, like, throws the sock away. He's like, what is this bullshit? And Dobby catches it, and that's, you know... Which is kind of like so much of the other stuff in the Harry Potter series. The magic world, like, their laws and their customs are so accidental. Like, you just... If I happen to throw a sock and you catch it, you're now free? That's a shitty system of slavery. Like, why aren't the slaves inventing weird Rube Goldberg sock machines? So they're just all free. Like... Oh, if I just leave this on the table, the master will accidentally wipe it off, and then I'll be free, and fuck him. It's kind of stupid. I mean, it's clever, on the one hand, like, that's a unique thing she thought of, but it's like, it's kind of a dumb thing in their world. How come they haven't improved on that? Like, centuries of enslaving these stupid elves, and,
don't they have an underground railroad of socks they could just pick up? I'm free!
Yes, they go to, a different platform with a fraction in it.
So 78 and 197.
I was going to say something with 3/5, but I'm not. So the other thing that's in going back to the thing about this this episode of the series shows just more development. You do see some changes in the characters, I guess. You know, Hermione is less of a ardent rule follower. Like, she's the one who makes the potion for them to pretend to be Slytherins. Mm-hmm. She starts to kind of change a little to match with their merry band. And Harry and Ron are just fucking douches usually, but...
As they are.
As they tend to be. When they're not just furiously wanking it. As the Brits say. Yeah, and Hogwarts, do you see that? That's probably the most important part of the book. That and introducing some backstory to Voldemort. Because, of course, even though Voldemort is never in this book himself, he's in this book. Mm-hmm. He's the bad guy throughout the whole series. The villain, the snake thing, it was put there by Slytherin, right? Salazar Slytherin let the basilisk in there. It's been in the school forever. He built the special chamber of secrets where it will live that he never told the other founders of the school about. And Voldemort's sort of like holographic memory teen version lives in this diary. Mm-hmm. And the other important character it introduces is Ginny Weasley, Harry's future finger bang date. Fertile Irish loins he will produce a lot of spawn with. Expelliarmus. I think that's going to do it for us on this journey through Harry Potter land. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, you could write us on... Send us an email.
Send us an email to drunkguysbookclub@gmail.com or...
Follow us on Twitter @drunkguysbc, as in book club.
Or give us a rating on iTunes.
Yeah.
Only if it's 5 stars.
Yeah. Whatever you're planning on doing, just make it 5. Round it up to 5. We're not asking for 6. We're not going to push our luck.
No.
You can join us next week. We're going to be reading The Fault in Our Stars by John Green.
Thanks for listening.